In 5, 4, 3. No, we're going. It's rolling now.
We're going, man.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Dun 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 dun. I forgot how that song goes.
Yeah, I have no idea. Hello, listeners.
Hi.
We don't mean to ignore you.
Just don't mind us.
Sometimes the show is just for us.
I thought it always was. No.
This might be one of those weeks.
Comments this week.
Huh?
We got seven comments.
Seven
from six people.
From 6 people. Yeah. So it's, I am Stenny.
I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and it's Hogbug episode
42. I'm Bet and none too happy about it.
Poor Bet. Bet's not really feeling up for it. Bet, this is our 42nd episode now.
42.
So, these morning DJs that you hear on the radio, how do they do that 5 days a week at like 5 a.m?
They're on drugs.
Maybe.
They're on drugs or coffee, one or the other.
Yeah, but you're drinking, and
yeah.
It's not helping our show very much.
Maybe we need to get 5:30 in the morning.
No.
Can you imagine that podcast?
No. We're not doing a 5:30 show. Here's my impression of the 5:30 show.
Okay.
Hello, listeners. I'm Stenny. It'd be pretty much the size of it, at least from my end. What do we start with this week? Should we just get rips out of the way?
Yeah, let's just get the damn rips
out of
the way.
Couple
I'm
of rips.
Sick of people. I need a week where no one dies.
Yeah, I think regardless of who dies next week, we're not doing any rips.
Okay. Unless it's like somebody big. Somebody on our list.
Somebody yeah. Really big. Now we've jinxed it. Somebody really big is going to die next week.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Sorry,
somebody really big.
You are.
Sorry, big star.
We didn't mean to jinx you. These are sort of B-list rips, I think.
Well, one is. I don't consider Molly a B.
No. Molly's not. Molly's A-list. Molly, is it Ivins or is it Ivins?
Ivins.
Ivins. My bad.
Molly Ivins, who had the sad fate to not only die, but to die the day after we recorded last week's Huckleberry.
Exactly. Otherwise, she would have been in last week's. Mm. She would have had top billing in last week's rips. Well, we're sorry to see you go, Molly.
Molly was one cool lady.
She was indeed.
She skewered everyone, but mainly Bush.
Which is okay by us, of course.
Yes.
Who's your other rip?
My other rip is Barbara McNair. Just read that one today. Barbara McNair was a singer from back in the 60s who had her own variety show.
Mm.
May have been the first black woman to have her own variety show. I know there was Diane Carroll, but she had a sitcom. Mm,
that's
and
right,
I used
yeah.
to watch the Barbara McNair show, so there.
So there.
Had a very throaty voice.
Throaty.
And died of throat cancer, I'm very, very, very sorry to say.
That's a shame. My other rip is Joe Hunter, session pianist extraordinaire for Motown Records. You've probably never heard of him, but you've heard his piano, that's for sure. If you've ever heard any song on the Motown label, you've probably heard Joe Hunter playing piano in the background. He played for,
Wonder if he played,
Well, I don't think he played organ. I don't think he played that.
Okay.
He might have, if there's piano in that song also, he may have played that.
Okay.
But he played the... In Money, That's What I Want. When Berry Gordy started Motown Records, Joe Hunter was the first person he hired.
I read that also.
I know he also played piano on Pride and Joy, one of my favorite Marvin Gaye songs.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah,
me too. So, like I said, you may go, Joe Hunter, who the hell? But bust out some of your old Motown stuff, because there he is. The only time you might not hear him is if you're listening to, like, a Stevie Wonder song, because obviously that's Stevie.
He did his own, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway,
we hardly knew ye, Joe.
We really did hardly know Joe. Poor Joe.
Yeah. Poor Joe.
Okay. Moving away from the depressing things now.
Yes, on to the happiness.
On to the happiness. You want to choose a happiness?
We're kind of like a New Orleans funeral. You know, we go right from the rich to the happiness. Shout-outs. Yeah, let's do some
Okay, shout-outs then. All right, shout-outs then.
Let's do some shout-outs. Thank you, listeners.
Look at that. 7 whole comments. We love you.
A mystery regarding whether or not there is actually a Hucklebug Prize.
Do you know why? I actually know the reason behind this mystery.
Yes, I know too. I think you're involved in it.
Yeah, Nissa was actually supposed to win one of these prizes quite some time ago. And for some reason never got it. Maybe because I never sent it.
Could be.
Yeah. And so she just assumes that it's a mythical thing. But no, it's real. And I have 2 prizes for you now. Nissa, right here, Bitter Spice, Venice.
Venice! Now, I can say, if my name was Venice, that's what I'd be called.
Yep.
But now, there's a whole new mystery.
What's I know,
her
middle
first name.
Oh, her real first name, because Venice is her middle name. We don't know what it is. I don't know it. Do you know it?
I don't either.
We skipped, let's go back here a little
bit.
We skipped
back.
The Pete. How's it going, the Pete?
He voted for the rabbit.
Of course. Who wouldn't vote for the rabbit? Only an evil person would say, no, no tricks for the rabbit. We have one here from Lily.
Lily!
I stand by my Eddie Murphy not getting an Oscar thing. And if I turn out to be wrong, I turn out to be wrong, but I stand
if
by
If Alan F. Arkin wins, and of course we're all on our knees hoping that he does...
That's not the
I
only thing you're
was,
doing on your knees, but sorry.
No, I wasn't invited to the luncheon. I can give my chance. I think it was on the Hucklebug. I think it was on the Hucklebug, unless it's an outtake, that you said to me early on, you need to realize right now he's not getting a nomination. He's not even getting nominated.
Did I say that?
I think you did. I've thought about going back. It would have been right when I went to see the movie the first time, back in the July,
I might
August.
Have. I never said I was right.
Okay.
So
I hope you're right now.
Well, I hope I'm not right about, well, you hope I'm right about Eddie Murphy not getting it. That doesn't mean Alan's going to get it.
Oh.
There are other nominees. Marky Mark might get it.
Oh, wonder if he'd drop his pants as he's walking up to the podium.
That'd be awesome.
Fall down. Wouldn't that be great?
We also have a shout out for Kelly with an IE.
Kelly with an IE!
Who can't get our smileys to work, and I'll look into that for you. I'm not a big fan of smileys personally, but that's okay. If people want to use them, I don't see why not.
If we make people smile, we've done our job.
That's right. We've done one of our jobs. And if we make you cry, or scream for your mother, we've done other jobs as well.
And Kelly with an IE watched Little Miss Sunshine this weekend.
It's a good movie.
Good for her. And she said we could have seen more of Alan F. Arkin. You can always see more of Alan F. Arkin.
That's true. Well, you could watch some more of his movies.
And if you're interested, Kelly, I've got them all. The good, the bad, and the indifferent.
And the ugly.
And the ugly.
And then more shout-outs, our final shout-out, actually, is for Michelle.
Dishy.
Dishy.
She likes her slogan, I heart the Hucklebug.
I heart the Hucklebug. That's
that was a little
slogan.
Brown nosy, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I like it, too. That's a good slogan. I'm all for it. She likes the Jewish sock monkey. Thank you, Michelle, also for not ripping me a new asshole, for not reviewing... a very long engagement in French. By the way, what I meant to mention last week is that Very Long Engagement, the DVD that I watched last week, was a Christmas present from Michelle. And that was the whole reason that as a thank you, I was going to review it in French.
But apparently she just doesn't thank you enough, Michelle.
Well, Michelle doesn't need a Christmas present. She doesn't celebrate Christmas. So
that's right.
You know, when the High Holy Days roll around,
hanging with the Jewish sock monkey.
That's right.
And the shock monkey.
Yeah. Shock the monkey. Mm-hmm. Don't you know you're gonna shock the monkey?
That's back when Peter Gabriel was good. Remember those days?
I do. I do remember those days. Those days were great.
It's before he started hanging around with Chris Difford.
Mm-hmm. Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. Okay. Shoutouts, rips, over.
Bye. Bye, shoutouts.
Bye, shoutouts. We'll keep see shouting, you again next week.
Keep shouting to us. We'll shout back at you.
Energy out of the show. What do you want to do now?
Oh, well, what do you think?
What do you think? Movies, fuck-offs?
Not like fuck-offs towards the end.
Why?
I don't know. Well,
I like to play with the order.
Fuck them in the end.
All right, fine. Well, then what do you want to do?
Oh.
Now, you can't say I don't know. Because
oh, if you want to do fuck-offs, we'll do
no,
fuck-offs.
No, no, no. You don't want to do fuck-offs. Movies?
Oh.
Do you have any movies this week?
I've got movies out the asshole this week.
All right. That sounds like fun. Let's do movies. Ladies and gentlemen.
Sit all weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, movies out the asshole from the Hucklebug.
Oh, God, I'm
hot. How many
hot.
Do you have? You are hot. You are on fire.
I think I have six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Nice. I only have 4. All right, well, you go first, because you have 6 movies, and I only have 4.
Okay, my first movie, and now everybody get ready to write this and get your pencils, because this is my first big recommendation of the year.
Alrighty.
This was a recommendation from Mr. M. He watched this movie, and he gave it to me to watch because he said I would really in there. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a documentary. It's called Genghis Blues, and it features a guy named Paul Pena. Paul Pena is a blues singer, was a blues singer. Sadly, he's no longer with us. Who is blind, not blonde, blind. Amazing musician. Very well respected in his field. And sometime around the late 80s, early 90s, he got interested in Tuvan throat singing, which I would like to try to attempt to do for you because it's indescribable, but I can't do it. So
I hope it's as good as your scat singing. Come on.
No, it kind of goes like... Okay, that's as close as I can get.
Alrighty.
And so he got so interested in it that he, you know, he wanted to pursue this. And so now, to me, this is the most interesting part of the whole story. Being blind as he was, mm-hmm. he could not. Of course, he reads Braille. Well, he doesn't read Braille. He reads sort of a Braille-ish type of a thing with raised letters. But he had to find a Tuvan to Russian dictionary and then a Russian to English dictionary to translate just enough words that he could actually write songs in Tuvan. He ends up going to Tuva, which is in the northern tip of Mongolia, is just accepted by these people into their homes. They're the friendliest, most hospitable people. They just love him. He sings at the Tuvan throat singing, symposium that they have there. And it's just his story of going to Tuva. It's just great. I know that Tuvan throat singing doesn't sound like a riveting documentary, but it is, and everybody put this in your queue.
It's weird about
documentaries. 4.5 stars. 4.5 stars, people.
Good. It's weird about documentaries because I find with documentaries that it's the ones that seem like I would have the least connection to that turn out to be the most fascinating.
Yes. If any of you all remember the old Steve Miller song, Jet Airliner, Paul Pena wrote that. That's kind of his claim to fame, and kind of gave him enough songwriter royalties to where he could live, you know, as a human being. Yeah. So Genghis Blues.
Genghis Blues. It's on my list.
Yes, there you go.
My first movie was Groundhog Day, which I watched on Groundhog Day.
No, I can't believe it.
I did.
I don't believe
well,
it.
Well, you know, I wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to go to see that James Bond double feature
yes,
with Scotty
I
Dude
know.
On Friday night, but then we ended up going on Saturday night because it was a whole traffic thing on Friday.
Yes.
So instead I went home and I thought, well, as long as I'm home, I'll watch Groundhog Day. If you haven't seen it, you should. It's a five-star movie, 1993, Bill Murray, Andy McDowell. Despite the fact that Andy McDowell is in it, it's a really great movie. I'm not a big fan of hers. She's okay in this.
I am not either.
Ooh. Yeah, she's okay in this. But
do you know the one part of that movie that always, when I think of that, and I probably have not seen it more than twice in my life, but the one thing that always hits me about that movie is when they're having the bachelor auction and they put Chris Elliott up.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets like 2 bits.
Two bits. It's 2 bits.
2 bits. Okay.
Sold for 25 cents. That's a great movie, a great, great movie. But I won't waste everybody's time talking about how much I love it.
If she could give it 6 stars, she would.
I would. In fact, I think Groundhog Day is worming its way up into my top 20. I might have to revise my top 20 and make sure.
Oh, I can't imagine that it's not already.
I think it was like the last time I tried to put together a top 20, it was like 21 or something like that. But yeah, it should be higher than that. Your turn.
Okay. On cable, oh my geeky friends, I think this was Friday night, I caught Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did.
The one that was just, the one that they just made a couple years
yes.
ago?
Yes.
It's not that good.
Yeah.
You get the 42 joke.
Yeah, I get the 42
That's
joke.
That's good.
I gave it 3 stars, and I'll tell you why I gave it
That's
3 stars.
That's about what I gave it, actually.
The first... say 20 minutes to this movie, I really enjoyed. I liked the narration. I liked the way it was filmed. I loved the animation over the screen. Mm-hmm. You know, little bits of animation would come up, and it kind of, you know, was getty. Even if you're not a geek, you know, sorry folks, I'm not. You know, it set it up to where you would understand what was going on and all that.
Yeah.
And then it just went kind of to pot. But there were still things that were kind of neat about it, you know, visually.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly lost interest in the story way before halfway through. So I didn't want to give it less than 3 stars because it did have that nice beginning and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, 3's your basic, you know.
Yeah.
So I tried people,
no,
I really
okay.
did.
Well, it's okay because that's, you know, a Hollywood version of, you know, a sci-fi classic. The writer, Douglas Adams, had been trying to get a decent script through Hollywood for years and years and years and years and years, and he could never approve a script, and then after he died, suddenly made the movie.
It's one of those things that I think a movie is kind of doomed to fail.
Yeah.
You know, when the book, just like if a Confederacy of Dunces ever gets made.
Yeah.
It shall be doomed to fail. Yes.
Oh, yeah. But I'm willing to wager. Since it sounds it sounds like to me the parts of the movie maybe that you liked, maybe you could appreciate the book. So I would recommend again that you try the first book.
Okay. You know, I have the book.
I do know you have the book. I know you're never going to read them, but I...
It's just I'm afraid I'll get a hernia.
I would be remiss during episode 42 if I did not recommend that you try the book.
Of all the radio show.
Maybe I'll make you a CD of the original radio show. Maybe you would
You
like
have.
That. Have I? No.
Well, you made me cassette.
God knows I've tried.
I tried to listen to it on the train to Reno.
God knows I've tried.
To make it.
Oh, well.
You have. You've gone above and beyond the call.
I have indeed. Well, it's all right. I understand that you can add that to your list of things you don't get that we're going to talk about later.
That's right.
Okay. My next movie was Dr. No. Or as I call him, Dr. Maybe.
Dr. Not.
Yeah. The first James Bond movie, 1962, with Sean Connery.
The Monty Python version's Dr. Nee.
Dr. Nee. Dr. No was good. It was, it was the first in the series. It was a lot of character development. On the one hand, if you've already seen some James Bond movies and you already kind of know that what he's all about, then I guess that could be kind of boring. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of gadgetry. There's not a whole lot of action. There's not a whole lot of chase scenes.
To bet there's no John Cleese. Right.
No, there's no John Cleese.
Okay.
But Jack Lord was in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Jack Lord plays, who's that CIA operative? Mike's yelling the guy's name out. I think his name's Felix something. Hang on.
See, everybody remembers him from Hawaii 5-0.
Felix Leiter.
Who's old enough to remember Jack Lord from a TV show called Stony Burke?
My dad is.
Okay. Well, you tell your dad that your podcast buddy, when she was a kid, used to watch Stony Burke.
I will. Anyway, Dr. No.
anyway.
3 stars for Dr. No. I thought it felt a lot, when the movie was over, I thought, God, that must have been 2 hours and 20 minutes long or something like that. And it was only about an hour and, well, it was almost 2 hours. Not quite 2 hours.
Yeah.
But still, it just felt too long to me. Bond, we'll get to this when we get to, things I don't get later. What was your next movie?
My next movie, on a whim, I rented The Devil Wears Prada.
Hmm.
Oh, my. 2.5 stars.
I think it's about what
just didn't do a thing for me.
It was all very obvious, I thought.
Meryl Streep may well be on my list of things I don't get. Why she got nominations for this movie?
Because she was in it.
Yeah, because she was in it. That's right. You know, I don't like fashion. And even not liking fashion, you think I might enjoy it because it kind of sends up the fashion world. But no.
No.
No, 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 no. Just get away from me, Devil Wears Prada. Go away. Go away from me.
Go away from me.
To me or speak to me.
Alrighty. My next movie was From Russia with Love. This was the second part of the double feature I saw on Saturday night. From Russia with it has that gay song. that one I gave 4 stars. I like that one a bit better. It's no Goldfinger. Goldfinger I think is the best. Although, like I said before, I'm not really a student of Bond. But it was better. Did better bad guys and more action. And I liked
more
it
sex.
Oh, it was the same amount of sex. I mean, that's and again we'll get to that when we get to things I don't get.
Okay.
4 stars. 1963. That one was second in the Bond series of films. Your turn.
My turn. Saturday
you
two night.
This
Mr.
time,
M
if you
and
want
I...
to, because I only have one left.
Okay. Mr. M and I watched a documentary. And I'm going to try not to go on too much at length about this because I may end up blogging about it tomorrow night. But documentary called Jesus Camp.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. No pun intended. As I mentioned at some point during the watching of this film, what a great double bill it would make with Triumph of the Wheel. Because it pretty much was a Nazi hootenanny only involving God and kids.
Yeah, Nazi indoctrination kind of thing.
Oh, my God. I just cannot believe there are people who live like this and do this. I mean, it's child abuse, what they're doing to these kids by sending them to camp.
It's pretty frightening.
Which, you know, I gave it 4 stars because it was truly like a car wreck. You could not stop watching. Or Triumph of the Wheel. You could not stop watching. But in case anybody doesn't know the story, there's this woman who is an evangelical Christian and believes that, you know, since the Muslims and the Middle Eastern religions, and she names them all, are indoctrinating their children into their religion to carry guns and grenades and body bombs, that it's our place because this is God's country. They keep saying this is God's country.
Whatever.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
This is not God's country.
God wasn't born
Who
here.
Said this was God's country?
I don't know, man.
But anyway, so it's our job to do that with our kids, you know, to get them on the right track with Christ. And so she has this camp that these kids go to, and oh my God, what they do. What they do.
Jesus camp.
What they do. And they talk to some of the kids, and these kids are so scary and so sad and so funny because it's just, I mean, you have to laugh, and it's just, oh my God. Just rent the movie. Just people rent the movie. Because
I just put it in my queue.
I kind of feel like Nazis about this. If we don't watch this movie, these kids are going to take over.
That's right.
And it's not going to be a happy place.
Those who don't learn from history.
You are doomed.
Doomed to repeat it.
Yes.
Go ahead and, if you
okay.
want to, unless you want to do your last two together, it's up to you.
No, I'll go ahead and do, because this was also on Saturday night. We followed up Jesus Camp
with
little movie called
Satan
Deadhead
Camp.
Miles.
Oh, Deadhead Miles. It is Satan Camp.
Oh, starring Alan F. Arkin as a crazy truck driver. The movie that has no plot.
I was going to say, what's it about?
It's about
Deadhead
72
Miles?
Minutes long.
<It's> a lot of
oh, but Alan just rocks in it. Cracks you up. Cracks you up.
Cracks you up. The rest of the world hasn't seen it.
Tells the best story about going to a state fair and Ethel Merman was there, and four bars into her song, a hog fell down dead. And that's a scene. That's what the movie's about.
And scene.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, 4 stars. How can it not be fun?
I don't know. It can't not
be fun. That's how.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like
you
that.
Go next.
All right.
Kelly, if you're looking for Alan F. movies, you won't find this anywhere, but ask me. You can borrow mine.
Yeah. Take it away from her. She likes it too much.
Linda
Kelly,
and lose it.
Lose it. My last movie is called We're Not Dressing with Carol Lombard and Bing Crosby from 1934.
I've heard of that, but I don't know anything about it.
I was wondering
naked people.
No, it's not about naked people. It's We're Not Dressing, I guess from like the expression, you know, we're not dressing for dinner tonight.
Yes.
Or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
I think I gave it, what did I give it, 3 stars? That might have been more than it deserved. The 3 stars were largely for George Burns and Gracie Allen, who had some fun supporting role in this. They got all the laughs. Bing Crosby and Carol Lombard, not a good screen couple. Not really.
Yeah.
And she played against type. She played sort of a bitchy, heiress. It was, you know who would have been really good in this part is Claudette Colbert, I think. I could have bought Claudette Colbert in that part. And then Bing was sort of this, rough and tumble sailor fellow or something like that. Yeah, not exactly.
Don't think of Bing as rough and tumble.
No, not even in 1934. He had man boobs already at that age. He did, and the shirt he wore throughout the whole movie showed
And he
them
wasn't
off.
Dressing. So
I know. He did dress, just not.
You know, the original title of that was We Are Now Dressing.
Yeah. We're Now Dressing. Ray Milland is in it
dressing.
Too. Very young Ray Milland.
Oh.
There's a moment in the movie that's it's supposed to be this sort of light, frothy comedy musical sort of thing. And then there's a moment in it where it's towards the end where Crosby's all pissed off at Lombard and he's all "You led me on" or whatever, and he just grabs her and like physically restrains her and behaves like he's going to rape her, and I'm not exaggerating that. I mean, that's clearly what is on his mind and what she thinks is on his mind. And then he like doesn't go through with it. We're supposed to think he's all, I mean, I guess a 1934 audience would think that he's all noble for not raping her or something. I don't know, but that.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. Really, I mean, to today's audiences, leaves a bad taste in the mouth, or at least it should.
So to speak.
Yeah. if that 60 seconds of the movie was gone, I would have had I would have left it with a much better feeling, but, you know, there's certain things you just, when you watch old movies as much as I do, there are certain things that will come up that you just kind of just can't get by. This and, like, white actors in blackface and,
yeah.
and black actors doing the Uncle Tom thing, you know, it's just, you watch it and just cringe and go, God. Anyway, that was my last movie. It really should have gotten 2.5 stars because of that scene. Maybe even 2, but George and Gracie did manage to elevate it beyond that, fortunately. Yeah. So, there you go. And what was your last movie?
My last movie finished just this very eve.
Mm-hmm.
Notorious Betty Page.
Mm-hmm.
About the famous nude pinup girl.
Yes.
3.5 stars. It's a piece of fluff. I mean, you know, and I don't know if it's supposed to be more than a piece of fluff, but I took it to be a piece of fluff. It does, David Strathairn's in it.
Oh.
And I recognized his voice before I saw his face. But it just tells the story of a, you know, young girl from the sticks who goes to New York and doesn't really realize she's getting involved in some naked pictures, but she does, and does with a vengeance, and I do need
to... For a second, I thought you were gone.
Speaking of a pregnant pause.
I thought I lost you.
No, it's, you know, it's okay. I mean, they skirt around some pretty, ugly issues with a wink and a nod, and you know, I think that could have been handled a lot differently. But on the whole, it's just, you know, I think there are some different directions the movie could have taken, but it was fun. You know,
good clean,
it was
porno fun.
Good clean porno fun. Yes.
Going to the Hippodrome, everybody swinging the marquees. Going to the California, going to the 504.
Okay.
Highlights and lowlights now, huh? Lowlights
okay.
And highlights.
Well, since we have lowlights, you do have a lowlight?
No, I don't have either.
Oh, well, I have a lowlight, but like I said, my highlights are just so suspect.
Well, let's do lowlights since you have one.
Okay.
I don't have one. So what was your lowlight since you've got
one? Well, my lowlight is that it's cold, and I'm right in the middle of the old cold snap that is sweeping the nation.
Not out here.
And so what that means, of course, is that for those of you who've read my blog for a long time, you may remember this. Those of you who haven't, this will come as news to you. I have a dinette, which has my computer and my big computer podcasting center desk. And I seem to have no heat in my dinette. I have never had heat in my dinette.
No.
And, I mean, I have a vent, and it may or it may not work. I personally have never felt heat coming out of it. But even if it does work, the vent is at the far end of the room, and it faces something else. So it's not going to hit me even if some heat's coming out. So I'm cold.
It's cold.
And, you know, and I sit here. I'm sitting here right now. Now, see, this is why it's a low light, just besides the fact that it's just damn cold.
Yeah.
I've got a little foot heater that I keep on. So I have that right up against my feet and my shins, which means that my skin gets all red and itchy where the heat is. I'm like a dog. You know how dogs will back up to the heater and go, I'm doing that. I was wearing my sweat jacket, the sweat jacket I was wearing when I was kicked out of the German club, by the way.
Oh, that one,
after drinking the coffee, then I got too hot and I had to take it off. But I'm wearing a t-shirt, so now I'm getting cold again. It's total uncomfortability here. I'm suffering through this podcast for you people.
Oh, poor Bet. No low light, though, for me, so let's move on to highlights, because I don't have a highlight either, but I have a highlight by proxy.
Okay, well, give me your highlight by proxy.
Yeah.
Who had a good week?
My nephew Kyle was accepted into the Philadelphia Art Institute.
All right. Go,
yeah, Kyle.
Go, Kyle. Kyle, Hucklebug logo.
Woohoo!
First class project.
It seems like just yesterday that Kyle was 9 years old and singing, "Moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches." That was his favorite song when he was little. That's Kyle's highlight of the week. At least I assume that's his highlight of the week. Maybe something better happened to him than that.
Well, very good.
Yeah. Yay, Kyle.
Well, that kind of makes my highlight even worse.
Well, what was your highlight?
Well, I'm torn between... Now, this is the kind of week I've had, people. I'm torn between two highlights. One is that I found the new Hackensaw Boys video on YouTube.
Well, I think that's a perfectly valid highlight.
Really rocking, because it's one of their new songs. However, yeah, it does stop abruptly in the middle of the song. So
low
I guess
light.
That's a low light within a highlight.
You always have a low light within your highlights. That's the really sad thing.
You know me.
I do.
There is no highlight without a low light.
Always.
And then the other one would be, also in the past week, I received from an eBay purchase, I've got it right here, an issue of Photo Screen magazine from June 1972 with Richard Burton and Liz Taylor and her dog on the cover.
Aww.
These things just crack me up. You know, there for a while I went through a very small period of collecting old yearbooks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a lot cheaper to collect old movie magazines, and I think that's what I'm going to do from now on. But anyway, this one, but of course I bought it for the article.
Of course. She always buys it for the article.
He finds it so difficult to accept success and love that with pain in his eyes and his soul, Alan Arkin still says, "They should have called me the reject who came in from the cold."
Oh, my goodness. God, how fucking depressing is that?
If you would read this article, you would not be surprised that he lived. But it's not,
he's not smoking enough dope back then. Damn.
He was somewhere in between too much and not enough, I do believe.
Oh, man. He must have been on something else then. He must have been on...
There's a nice ad for Tampax, and The Night Tom Jones Might Have Killed Himself. That's a good article. There's one on Charlie... apparently Charlie Chaplin had just died.
Oh,
there's
okay.
One on
what year is this again?
72.
Oh, 72.
Mia Farrow's babies threatened by her mother's idea about drugs. A tiny, tiny Tim is on the way. Apparently that was when Miss Vicky got knocked up.
That's
woman playing the guitar article, advertisement from My Doll. And even in 1972 in the Tampax commercials, the women were wearing white pants. I just have to throw that in.
I'm sorry, but you know, I'm finding it hard to get past anything besides the thought of Tiny Tim and Miss Vicky reproducing.
I know, it's rather it's not unlike Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes reproducing.
Well, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, you know, I just assume that's just fake. Fake altogether, but you know, maybe a surrogate or something like
Tiny
that.
Tiny Tim, they might have bought a baby, you know.
Ugh, God, well, I just hope for her sake they didn't have him the old-fashioned way.
That's true.
He's just repulsive. Ew.
Imagine the kind of person Miss Vicky must have been. Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy is correct. Anyway, let's... would I be cutting you off here if I ended?
No, that's... that's as high as it gets.
Okay. In your sacroiliac, wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck. Oh, I like that. Get a nice dance? No, not now. I'll tell you when. Right here.
Yeah, let them roll in. Somebody give the piano player another.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice guitar player, too.
Yeah, he's on.
He is nice. He's a smoking boy.
He's in.
Fuck offs.
Oh, George Bush.
George Bush, fuck off.
Fuck the hell off.
Seeking more war funding. You can kiss my ass.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there. Anyone who rents, and I'm sure you will, Jesus Camp.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I bet they all love him.
There's a point at which they bring out a cardboard cutout of George Bush, and they all lay hands on him and through the Lord. And I was reading a message board about this movie, and it was saying like 100 things that that we've learned, you know, from Jesus Camp.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was, yes, George Bush is actually two-dimensional.
I like that. Yeah. Two is probably stretching it.
Yeah, you got that right. That's being kind.
Yeah. Oh, Georgie, fuck off.
I got a couple of fuck offs.
I do too. I have a few. Yeah.
Good.
Who's one of yours?
I would like to give, now I have to tell you that by giving this fuck off, which is very heartfelt, that I'm telling tales on myself. But
all right.
I want to give a fuck off to the producers and or writers of Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Ooh. Ooh, personal revelation right here on the Hucklebug. You heard it first. Beck watches Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Let me give you a really quick rundown on Degrassi. It is one of my guilty pleasures. I cannot deny. When I was a 20-something slacker, I used to watch the original Degrassi. It was on PBS.
I remember watching
that. So watch it laying in bed on Sunday mornings when I was supposed to be in church, you know.
Yes.
And
it's
so,
a horrible show.
It is. It's horrible, and you watch it. That's just the way it is. And so, you know, there's the Inn. I think it's Noggin, but at night it's called the Inn. It's Kids Network. I had been reading that they're coming out with a new Degrassi, and I thought, oh, God in heaven, knowing full well I would watch it. But when I've watched the first episode, they take, you know, if anyone watches the original, you don't have to admit it here. Spike had a baby on the original. You know, she was like 14 and had a baby. Well, it takes her daughter, you know, who is now at Degrassi, and all of her friends. So it's kind of a cute idea, you know. And Spike is actually in the show. And so I, of course, you know, watched it and have watched it off and on for a couple of years.
Yeah.
They killed off my favorite character.
Oh,
this
no.
week.
How
killed
they?
Him off. And it's just, he was like the big happy, goofy dog that everyone loved. In fact, reminded me quite a bit of my own nephew. You know, just your happy-go-lucky kid.
Yeah.
And he got stabbed. And they damn fire killed him off.
Bet hasn't been this upset since Henry
he
Blake.
He was the school's mascot, damn
Man.
It. Now the school
the
has
school's
no mascot.
Mascotless, they're directionless. They have nothing to root for.
Oh, and they
I'm
killed him off.
And I don't even watch.
Well, you should be.
I'm surprised this wasn't the low light of your week, actually.
And I just, I cannot see myself watching that show anymore. I don't care. I don't care
you've
about
done it
Craig.
Now, Degrassi.
I don't care about Craig and his cocaine problem.
It's all over. The show's dead to her now.
It's dead to me.
All right. Well, I have a fuck off for the city of Boston, who apparently can't take a joke.
Oh, yeah.
This is over this whole Aqua Teen Hunger Force thing. I'm sorry. You know, I happen to know there are colleges in the city of Boston. And I know there's got to be high schools as well. So don't tell me there wasn't one person in the city of Boston who could go, oh, no, dude, that's just that's a Moonanite. It's not a big deal. The whole thing just pissed me off so much. And so I would like to tell the city of Boston to fuck off. And I'm devastated that Turner Broadcasting had to pay him $2 million.
They've settled it. And he was so cute when they showed him and he was giving the finger. I mean, it's just, it was the perfect prank and,
you know who else can fuck off this whole thing?
Prank. Yes.
Is, the new, I haven't seen a whole lot of news coverage of it, but the few newscasters that
they
did
not,
see.
They took it seriously.
Oh, I know, and the newscasters were like, oh, I don't think that's very funny, and this, I don't know what this Aqua Teen Hunger Force is, but it doesn't sound, you know, the show's only 15 minutes long. Do your fucking research. Edward R. Murrow would have watched an episode at least of it. Before going on the air and going, well, I didn't get it, but clearly they're not a danger to humanity. It's just, I mean, come on, Boston. Lighten up a little.
Please.
Just
a
moonlight.
Bit. Just a bit.
Anyway, who else do you have to tell the fuck off? I only have another
I do have one fuck off left and one you rule, but
I have a you rule also.
But my other fuck off is to people who have jobs as newscasters and or weather people on television.
Very close to that.
who don't know how to pronounce words. For years, we had a weather person who said temperature. Well, let's check the temperatures. The temperature, she had big teeth. I just wanted to knock her teeth out. Now, we have a weather girl who says, especially. If you can't say especially.
You don't deserve.
How do you get
a job in print journalism.
Really?
Especially.
Oh.
God, that's aggravating.
So, fuck off.
Mine's very close to that, actually. Mine is sports announcers.
Oh.
I mean the
sports, all yell.
I mean the guys who broadcast during the games.
Yes.
I did not watch the Super Bowl. One of the reasons I did not watch the Super Bowl was I had planned to have it on in the background while I did other stuff during the day on Sunday. And I turned it on at 11, our time. And I realized that the game wasn't starting yet. They were just doing the pregame. So there's four dumb, big, freaking frat guys sitting around talking about these guys, the color announcers and stuff, they can't stop talking when the game is on.
Yes.
They can't shut their freaking mouths for a minute and let you watch the game. They have to talk. And it would almost be alright if they said anything interesting, but instead they say bullshit like, he really came here to play football.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He gives 110%.
Yeah, and the secret to quarterbacking is to hit your receiver. Well, yes, that is the secret. Thank you so much, genius.
Not big of a secret, actually.
It is the same is true in baseball. The secret to pitching is to throw strikes. No shit. It's just, I just hate them, and I can't, and that's why I can't watch sports anymore. And that's what I discovered, is that the reason I can't watch sports is because of the announcers. So I turned off the pregame show, and then I did something while I was watching the History Channel, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then a little while later, I thought, well, I'll go back to the game, turn the game back on. And I guess it was halftime, but it wasn't the halftime show. It was the part of halftime where the announcers sit around and fucking talk.
Yes.
So I turned it off again, and I never went back. I didn't even get to see any of the commercials.
Yes. And, you know, I can stick a second fuck off as far as football goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the yellow line that tells you where a first down is. Everything else can just fuck right off. Now they have, like, an arrow at the bottom of the field they superimpose that tells you what direction they're going in. If you don't know what direction they're going in, you don't need to be watching the game.
Yeah.
And it'll say 1st and 10 or 2nd and 7 or whatever. And then there's, like, supposed to be, like, a blue line that's different from the yellow line. I don't know if it's the line of scrimmage or what.
I think it's the line of scrimmage.
Get the hell rid of all that crap. Leave the first down. I like the first down.
They're a little graphics heavy, too.
The rest.
All across the top and all across the bottom.
Oh,
the bottom's always got a crawl of some kind telling you what's going on in other sports
and
that you're not
and up
watching.
In the corner, they have the score brought to you by Geico.
Yeah, exactly.
The Geico score.
Just all
which
so
is
crazy.
Different from the Allstate score.
It's a little too much. Although I will say that yellow line that shows you where the first down is, best invention in televised football.
Yeah, great. Great idea. You
absolutely.
Rule to that.
Yeah, you rule.
Fuck off to everybody else.
Yeah, the rest of you fuck off. My you rule is for Lieutenant Aaron Watada. This is the guy who, officer who was, who has refused orders to deploy to Iraq.
All right. You go.
He's of course being
court-martialed. Or you don't go.
He said he would go to Afghanistan, but he said he does not believe in the war in Iraq, he doesn't believe we should be there, and refuses to go. So he's not filing for conscientious objector status, but,
just thinks it's wrong, Dan.
Just thinks it's wrong. I don't think he's got a prayer in the world of winning his case. And I will say that, technically, if you join the Army, and he did join the Army in 2003, so it's not like he didn't know what he's getting into.
Yeah.
Although he said since then he's given it a lot more thought and believes that the war is wrong and doesn't want to go. But, you know, kind of once you're in the Army, you don't really get to pick and choose where they send you. It doesn't work that way. It's not like you work for some big corporation. And you're like, well, I would rather be relocated to sunny Spain, for example. But you rule anyway. Good luck to you, Aaron.
Yeah, we'll visit you in jail.
We will.
Well, shout out from jail. Well, on a lighter note.
Yes, who's your you rule?
You rule is for someone, thank God, who finally got it right. The UK film critics.
Oh yeah.
Named. United 93 is the best film of 2006.
Oh, so you had to go outside the country to find somebody who would...
Yeah, not even American.
You know what it is, then? I'm convinced then. You know what it is? We're not ready yet.
You don't think?
I think probably a lot of people didn't go see it, and that's why it just didn't make enough lists. Yeah, people just couldn't go see it.
But they got it right, so you rule film critics.
You rule UK film critics. I hadn't heard about that.
Yep. I think it was just in the past couple of days it came through.
Well, they rule.
Yes, they do.
Let's move on to things we don't get, shall we?
Yes. The topic that will get Nyssa her second prize.
Her second
prize.
Even though
she doesn't have a first one.
She's going to get her first and second prizes at the same time.
Oh, that'll be a excited
I know.
For her.
Her head's going to explode. Oh. So much awesomeness in one little package. Things we don't get. In other words, things that seem to have a renown of some kind that that other people think are just great. And we're like, really? Like Only Angels Have Wings, for example.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that's how the whole thing got started, actually, was that we were talking about how...
R.E.M.
R.E.M. is, that's right, R.E.M. is the other one. Who you got?
Well, the first one, and it's funny, of all the things, and maybe it's because it's around Super Bowl time, when this topic came up and we decided that we were going to speak of it, the very first thing that popped in my mind, and it's been in my mind for 20 years, I do not get the Apple commercial that's like 1984.
Oh.
Just don't get it. Do not get it. I don't see the greatness in it. I don't see the hoopla. I don't see where it's revolutionary. It's nothing to me. I don't get it. We need like a little...
I love when words fail you and you just fall back on...
Like Archie Bunker.
Exactly.
So, that's my first one.
That's your first one. Well, this is one that you and I talked about last week after the tape stopped rolling, as it were. The Third Man. This movie consistently makes the top two or three greatest films of all time, usually just under Citizen Kane and Casablanca, and maybe just under Gone with the Wind, but usually just over Gone with the Wind. I do not get its appeal. I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's an okay movie. It's a good movie. I hate that fucking Zither music. Jesus. I think Joseph Cotton's terrible in it. Ugh. Other than the cuckoo clock speech, I don't think that there's anything particularly wonderful about the movie at all. And even the cuckoo clock speech is that great. So there you go, The Third Man. Big deal. I don't get it.
And the reason that I've laughed through this entire little diatribe is because next on my list is Citizen Kane.
Oh, yeah.
Slash or Orson Welles.
Yeah. I'm with you on Orson Welles.
I do not get Orson Welles. I didn't even like him in Catch 22, for God's sake.
I don't think he's anywhere near the genius everybody says he is.
I don't get it. I don't get Rosebud. I don't get it.
Now, when we say we don't get it, people, we don't mean we don't understand.
Understand
what he means
that
when he says
get
Rosebud.
The...
Yeah, we don't get why everybody thinks it's so great. I do think Citizen Kane is a great movie, but
better than The Third Man.
I do think it's better than The Third Man. I do see why Citizen Kane is a movie that I don't like it like I have to watch it. It's not like Groundhog Day that I have to watch once a year or I'm weak in the knees, but I can understand why it's so lauded, but Orson Welles in general, I do think his radio works pretty good, but other than that, on Citizen Kane. All right, here's one that I alluded to earlier, Bond movies.
I don't get those movies. But,
I don't like Bond movies.
I don't get them as a woman. I can understand why men.
Every man
wants to be James Bond.
I mean, I guess so, but I certainly don't see where every woman wants to be with James Bond.
I was just going to say, here's a little news flash for you men. You all want to be James Bond, but
none
all women do not want to fuck James Bond.
No,
I can promise you that.
No, no.
Well,
there
you
are
end
some
up getting
that do.
Stabbed, first of
yeah,
all.
I know. Yeah, I know. They always end up dead. Painted to death or something.
Yeah.
He's a dick. I couldn't even count how many times he slapped a woman's ass in those two movies I saw. Jesus Christ. Yeah, Bond movies in general. Sorry, Mike. I know. Mike's just writhing on the floor right now. I mean, Orson Welles, The Third Man. It gets worse, Mike.
Well,
in there.
I was going to say I have one on down the list that I'm sure will ride some more. So.
Yeah, I got more coming. Who else you got?
Well, the next one on my list, this one's so easy, and it's so trite, and it's so, I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but there is, I do have a reason for putting this on above other of this ilk. I don't get Paris Hilton.
Well.
I don't get Paris Hilton because she's just rich, you know? I mean, yeah. I can understand Britney, okay, maybe somebody once liked a song, or they, you know, or Lindsay Lohan, they once liked a movie, or, Paris Hilton's just a twat.
She's trash.
So, yeah.
She's trash. She's trash.
They look trash with money.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. You know, the press just goes absolutely. I had never heard of her until this article in Vogue, and this was before her rise. You know, there was the story about the Hilton sisters. And I mean, the story was just that they're trash. They're just trash.
Paris was like, we can use this to our advantage, except
yeah,
for that advantage has too many syllables for her.
Yeah. And I just don't get it. I don't get why anybody cares, why anybody would want to follow what she's doing, why anyone would think she's pretty, why I don't get it. There.
Well,
that's the sound effect for I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it, sound effect. I don't get it. Matthew McConaughey is the only actor that's on my list. But and again, he's not big now, but I remember when he suddenly became, quote, a star, unquote. And
sexiest
like,
man alive. Oh,
yeah.
God, I mean, in heaven.
He's repulsive. I mean, is everybody looking at him with
the
same
man ever
eyes
bathed?
That I am? Apparently not. He's just disgusting in every way. I hate his voice. I hate the way he talks. I hate the way he looks. He looks like he would smell like a bong. He just, ugh. I don't get it. What else you got?
Well, the last one on my list, and this kind of came about, I've always thought this, but it kind of struck me while watching the movie tonight. And I'm so sorry, Mike, but I don't get it. I don't get bondage.
Bondage? Why do you apologize to Mike? Mike's all, damn.
I don't know what you're talking about. Things that have him writhing around on the floor. But, you know, I've always thought that S&M is kind of one of those things that if you don't get it in the beginning, you're never going to get it. You know, it's not like it comes to you later on. You know? I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, you know.
It's unlikely that the more you do S&M, the more you'll appreciate
right.
it.
I mean, and I'm not talking your average slap and tickle. I'm talking, you know, leather hoods.
Yeah,
leather hoods in a box with a pole up your ass. You know,
the ball gag.
And you know, maybe it's not meant for me to get it.
Probably not.
I ain't getting it.
I doubt there's too many S&M freaks out there going, damn it, we wish Beth would join us.
I don't get leather. I don't get leather's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't get leather in general.
Just,
that's just uncomfortable.
I don't get it. This may be my favorite segment we've ever done.
Episode 42 of the Hufflebug rocks. Well, all I have left are some bands. Everybody already knows I don't get U2. I also don't get the Rolling Stones. I don't get why people are always, do you like the Rolling Stones or the Beatles? That's like asking, do you like something that's really, really awesome or something that sucks? It's like asking, do you like chocolate cake or me hitting you repeatedly in the face?
Cake or dance?
I hate the Rolling Stones. I mean, I like a couple of their songs, but...
The Rolling Stones are a band. The Rolling Stones, once again, I'm sorry, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike's never speaking to us again.
Mike does
not
like
to me, the Rolling Stones are like the Beach Boys. They needed to break up and stayed broken up in 1968 or so.
Yeah.
And never come back.
But even then, it wouldn't have been anywhere near as great as the Beatles.
Not even close. But yeah, I mean, watching the Rolling Stones now.
Oh my God, they're just pathetic.
God,
they
are pathetic.
Pathetic old men. Ugh, they're gross. They're really gross to watch now.
It's like watching your dad in Gold Lame.
Exactly, it is exactly. And his shirt open, and, ugh, Dad, put that thing away. Oh, that's all I had on my list.
Oh, that's a shame. We'll come back to this one.
Yeah, I think so.
Every couple of episodes, we're going to have to come back.
I might have to give this something really good for this topic, actually. I might have to root around and see if I can find something awesome.
Oh,
Nissa, would you like a picture of Buster when he was just a tiny kitten? It's adorable.
Would you like a picture of Robert Young suitable for
Frank? You can't have a picture of Robert Young. That's for me. You can't have that. That's for me and me alone. Gracious me. I believe that brings us to the end of,
I think it does.
It turned out to be a pretty decent, episode of the Hucklebug, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So that was, that's the end of another Hucklebug. We thank everybody for tuning in, as usual. I am Stenny.
I am Bet.
We are Bet and Stenny. And, you've been listening to the Hucklebug episode 42. The answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. We hope you understand it now that you've listened to the show.
Yes. If this doesn't give you an insight to the questions of life, I don't know what will.
I don't know what will either. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That's the way you do it when you do the Hucklebug.
Did I just say hella?
You said hella.
Can we edit that out?
No, I'm leaving that in. Bet said hella.